Hey, Veteran Day is coming up. Got two veterans with me. I got Rick Brown here. He's with the Air Force. Came out of the Air Force. I've got Mike Thompson, and he came out of the Marines. These guys are both long-term drivers, trainers, and they both came out of the military. So this edition of Driving the Future is all going to be about veterans and what that does with the trucking industry. Well, Mike, you were in the Marines. Mm-hmm. How long did you serve for?
5 years. I enlisted in June of 07, and I got my DD214 in May of 12.
Okay, what is a DD214 for people that are in the military?
It's the paperwork that says I don't have to listen to you anymore.
La 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 la.
Basically, it's the paper
you get. It's your official release paper.
Yeah, it's your official release paperwork.
Okay. Well, Rick, you were in the Air Force.
Yes.
So, how long were you in for?
I signed up before the 4-year program, and so I was in for 2 years.
Okay.
And that's all I had to serve, and I did it because I come from a big family. And not only having relatives that served in the military before me, I thought it was the thing to do to get my education because I wasn't able to further myself.
Okay, all right.
So, and it's not only that, but I guess like Mike, I took pride in my country.
I love my country as the government I'm impressed.
So.
It's pretty much, and I'm, my dad's generation is the only generation in my family that didn't have someone in the military.
No, I had an uncle that served in Vietnam, and I had another uncle that didn't serve or didn't go to war, but he was in the Air Force also.
Right.
So I had an uncle that did 3 years in Vietnam.
My father-in-law did 4 years in Vietnam.
Where at?
Not sure. I know he was a CB. He helped build and construct. So I'm not sure exactly where he was.
I kept getting stuff from my uncle all the time from Seoul, South Korea.
Ah.
So he was in between Vietnam and Korea.
Okay. Well, I mean, on that note, why do you guys think why do you guys think that a lot of veterans get into trucking, into diesel mechanics, trucking? Why do you think it's a good industry for veterans? Because there is a very large...
One of the reasons that I come into trucking is I have two brothers that did it for years. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm the type of person, I don't like somebody standing over my back, over my head, telling me what to do all the time.
Okay.
For what I'm doing now, all I have to do is get my assignments, complete my mission.
Yeah,
and that's basically what it is. As long as you do your job, you got nobody over your head. You got nobody down your back, down your throat.
Yeah, you're not punching a time clock.
It's your time. You're out there. You're basically your own boss.
Yeah.
As long as you do your job.
Yep.
And that's basically the same way as military.
Mm-hmm.
They stay off your back as long as you keep yourself clean and do your job. They stay off your back.
I kind of stumbled into it, to be honest with you. I didn't get into trucking straight from the military. I went and got my 4-year degree because I thought that I'm supposed to go to college. And then it wasn't until I was on my volunteer fire department in my small town that my safety officer, who was also a truck driver, saw me in our rigs, our apparatuses, saw how I handled them and said, "Have you ever thought about trucking?" I'm just like, "Well, I did in the military. My gunny told me no." And being a Marine, gunny tells you no, you don't do it unless you really want to face the consequences.
Oh.
So I looked back into trucking and thought I'd give it a whirl, and I love it. I knew from college I don't get along well in an office environment at all.
Nope.
We don't, a lot of us don't get along well in office environments. It's not as bad when you're in the military because everyone has your same mentality. You come to an office setting like this and you let something slip, and everyone's looking at you funny. It's not a good feeling.
It's either that or you find a boot out the door.
Yeah, or you know.
So it's like he said, you like being in the truck because you don't have anybody watch over your back, listening to everything you're saying.
It's that not having to mind my P's and Q's as much. Still got to do that in front of customers and receivers, obviously. But
yeah, you still need to maintain professionalism.
But, you know, I don't have to sit there and drive into work every day. I don't have to do any of that stuff. And like you said, you know.
The repetitious stuff just kills you. We spend most of our time outdoors.
I was in the air wing.
I was in mid-air refueling.
You were in mid-air refueling.
Yeah, mid-air refueling.
So you were up in the airplane while they were flying along and fueling.
I guess we were both in the air
wing. And this was back in the 70s when they had full service. So how'd you like check the oil and watch the windows?
That was somebody else's job.
Oh, okay.
God took care of that. All we had to do was put the fuel. But the other thing of it is, when I got out, I spent 37 years in the construction trade.
Oh, okay. So you didn't go immediately into truck driving?
No, I spent 37 years in the construction trade. I built houses, we were our own bosses out there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have anybody. You walked on a job site.
You knew what needed to be done.
You were handed a set of blueprints, built the house, and you walked off.
So it seems like it's pretty unanimous with military and that mentality. It's like the freedom of being able to just show up, do your job,
and
not be bothered.
Be done at the end of the day. Yeah.
Not be harassed, not have somebody over top of your back and shoulder all the time looking over you.
Yeah,
it's
not punching a time clock.
It's something I bring up to all my trainees, that once your dispatcher and planning trust you to get a job done, you're never going to hear from them.
I tell
all my trainees, this ain't a job, this is an adventure.
I tell them it's not a job, it's a lifestyle.
it's an adventure, because look at it this way. What other job are you going to get where you can travel across the country and see stuff and laugh at people?
Yeah.
You're not going to do that in the office.
I actually never had an office job. I worked in factories, and then I went into truck driving. So
I had one factory job that lasted. I made it through 7 years, and that was only to get the benefits that come from it.
Okay.
But I hated that job with a passion.
I thought I could get out the office stuff when I was in college. I was wrong. I did not. When it came to actually hiring me for a big boy job, I didn't make it.
I guess the best way to put this, you can't cage a veteran.
No,
you really better let him go.
Now, you guys are both trainers.
Yes.
And you guys came through the military. So what do you think? So there's good job security, like you said. Mm-hmm. Because
if you're not stupid.
Yeah, if you don't do anything crazy or you know, get out of hand. Like we said, you get up, you go, you do your job, point A to point B, and you kind of run it at your own pace, and you're not badgered or poked at, or you don't have anybody over your shoulder. But so you got good career security, good job security. Do you guys what do you think of as far as like veterans with soft skills, like as far as neat tidiness? Organizational skills. I mean, you guys are both trainers. You really need to kind of keep things organized, and it helps with the training, I'm sure. I would imagine.
Yeah, I limit my trainees on what they can bring.
Okay, so you've got like a list.
They contact me before they start in my truck.
Okay,
and I tell them what they need to bring.
Okay.
Tell them no more than that, because we are limited to room in that truck.
Yeah, you can't have them bringing five duffel bags full of stuff.
So, what I have an entire thing that I text my trainees, and I won't read out the whole thing, but what I tell them is bring stuff to eat and drink, like you said. Boots that are water resistant up to 6 inches, because we get into some muddy lots.
Yes, we do.
Clothes for at least 10 days, especially for changing socks and underwear. A jacket that's water resistant, and all your legal CDL stuff, and then pack like you got to carry it all on your back. And the great thing about vets is that when I say pack like you have to carry it on your back, we know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah,
put it all in
as his eye roll. But well, I've had guys show up with 3 and 4 suitcases before.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them like, there's no way. I told you to pack light. They're like, well, this isn't, like, that's not light.
Yeah, 3 or 4 suitcases.
Well, what I tell my guys, see, I have a refrigerator in my truck.
Same here.
So I tell them, bring food for 6 days, clothes for 6 days. Mm-hmm. I said, really close for 7 days. Well, why 7 days? We're going to be out for 6. Just in case you get caught in the rain and your clothes get soaking wet.
Or break down or something.
You need another change of clothes.
Yep.
And bring a bedroll. And then bring your or your orientation packet with you.
Okay. So
that's all you need.
Yeah. I remember, I'm trying to think back of when I went through training way, way, way back. But the guy that trained me, pretty much the same thing. He says, this is what I want you to bring. He gave me a list, or they gave me a list and said, bring this, only this, and nothing else. Everything else that you need will be provided, you know, along the way. And I'm like, I'm going, really? But yeah, you get in that truck and it's tight quarters.
How long have you been training?
3 years now.
3 years, how long?
Actually, no, 3.5, because I started at my 6 month mark.
8.5 years.
You've been training for 8.5 years? Wow. We got about 12 years of training experience right here. That's pretty good.
And the thing of it is, I've learned, I feel, this is my feeling. I mean, I was asked when I first come here, after about 6 months, if I wanted to become a trainer.
Same here.
And I told him I didn't want to. Because I feel that you ought to have at least 1.5 years experience out there on the road to become a trainer. That way you know what to expect, you're used to it, and you're able to work your trainees through it.
Yep.
It was about another year before they started giving me guys that were fresh out of school, and things started to go a lot smoother for me, training people, because I stopped having trainees that would ask me questions that I hadn't thought about yet.
Going through school is a whole, what they train you,
they
in,
train
school
you in school
is a whole lot different than what it is out on the road.
Yeah, when they train you in school, they're training you to pass the test to get your CDLs. You don't learn
and
to
see,
drive until you get with one of you.
The two guys, and see the issue that, and this is, I think you actually go through this, the issue between, the difference between veterans and civilians you get off the road, veterans already know what it's like to be away from home.
Yes,
veterans know what it's like to be at home. We know what it's like to live out of your knapsack. We already know, hey, I need to have a plan in case something goes sideways at home.
We already know how to take orders, too.
We already know how to take orders, and we already, some of us are, to an extent, know how to stand up for ourselves when something doesn't make sense, especially air wing, you know, every single, because we were both flying.
Yeah.
And in the aircraft, it's a little bit different than when you're on the ground, because every single air crew member
has a responsibility.
If we see something going wrong with the aircraft, you can shut the whole thing down.
Or you could die.
Or you can die. And it's actually a red letter in the NATOPS, which is a standard publication across all the DOD for every aircraft out there. I don't care if you're a private or a four-star general. If you see something going wrong with that aircraft, you can call it and you can shut it down.
If you don't open your mouth, you're dead.
Exactly.
Yep.
And if the private's the only person that sees it, if the trainee's the only person that sees it, and they don't say anything, you're dead or injured or something's going seriously sideways. Now,
it's not only that, not only are you going to die, but if that aircraft goes down,
everybody goes.
And that's,
there's a wide array of people.
Yeah.
Do you guys use your military training in any way? Like when you're training somebody in the truck, do you guys revert back to some of the things you've learned in the military to use?
Yes.
Like you have any examples?
I can show you examples all day long, but my end goal is to teach you get you in the proper thought process to figure this stuff out yourself.
Yes.
Because I cannot show you all the examples that I've seen in just I've been here 4 years. I can't show you all the examples I've seen in 2 months, in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
All we can do is instruct you on how to operate your equipment, but it's up to you to operate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, well, yeah, I came out of training and school and training, and then I spent 6 weeks with a trainer, and then I spent 6 more weeks with another trainee who just got done with a trainer, and we did one job together, you know. But even after all that,
two eggheads don't make it right, though.
Yeah.
No, but even after all that, you can't be prepared for every eventuality. You're going to still be learning on the job.
A lot of what I ask my guys when they're finding something they're not sure of is I start asking them, what's your thought process? What are you thinking about right now? How are you thinking about working through this thing? And when I get them verbalizing that the same way, this is the exact same, and I do this because this is the exact same thing that my trainers did for me in the military. And it let me, and this is what eventually got me where I was passing, is I started asking them, what's your thought process? What are you thinking about right now? And if their thought process is blank and they're just looking at it with a blank slate in their head, you're in trouble. You gotta break that cycle.
Yeah.
But if they're thinking about, well, you know, I've got this obstacle, or I've got to do it this, this, and this way, then you can say, well, okay, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about A, B, or C?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if we're backing up somewhere, and they're looking at the ground, they're seeing a dumpster and maybe a chalk or something like that, but they don't see the fact that there's a, you know, a piece of something hanging from the roof.
Mm.
And they're not thinking to look up.
Yeah, I throw
that same scenario. I say, yes. Well, you're driving up to this, so tell me what you're going to do.
Exactly.
I want to know exactly how you're going to approach this and how you're going to handle it.
Yeah. And I love taking them through Louisville at the JBS lot, taking them around. Well, no, I say that because everything's tight, it comes at you fast, and there's a bunch of signs that are hidden off your main field of view.
So you really gotta be paying attention.
You gotta be paying attention.
And one of the other things I do when I'm driving down the road is I'll sit there and I'll ask them, I said, what that sign say?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if they can't tell me, and this is a good training deal to do, if you do that about 5 or 6 times, and they can't, I didn't see it. Do the alphabet game.
What's the alphabet game?
Alphabet game, you take DOT signs.
Okay.
You take a letter from A to Z and back and see if they can do it before you can.
Oh, just off the signs?
Off the signs.
Okay.
One letter per DOT sign. They learn to watch the signs.
Then they learn to start looking at the sign. That's actually, I like that.
It's things like that. Little tricks we learned, especially in the military, because the military is famous. A lot of the military training is done with, I think it's called idioms, but it's just it's easily memorizable verbal tricks you can teach yourself. You can go through in your head, like JJ did tie buckle.
See, my grandparents used to do that with us. Like I said, I come from a big family.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
my grandparents used to do that to keep us occupied.
Mm-hmm. While we were learning, and we just didn't realize.
Well, the thing of it is, basically what it was is my grandparents would say, the first one that makes it to this point will get a special.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it was something that.
Yeah.
But it's something I use now in my training program that gets them to be more aware.
Yeah, because when you're out there and you're brand new, of course you're scared, you're nervous. They don't know you. They don't know you. They don't know me.
Yeah.
They don't know what to fully expect.
I don't even know myself half the time.
You know, but you've got a lot of information coming at you through that windshield, and you've got to be able to watch traffic.
You have to be. You have to be totally aware of all your surroundings at all times,
and completely in control of your truck at the same time. And it's when you're brand new. That can be a challenge.
Yeah, I don't have my trainees doing anything but worrying about the truck for their first week. I don't care. I don't want you worrying about bills. I don't want you worrying about paperwork. I don't want you worrying about macros. I don't want you worrying about anything else. You need to keep this truck driving down the highway in a safe manner.
Yep.
For the first 3 days that I have my new trainee, they sit in the passenger seat. They learn the paperwork. They learn the computer work. They learn that the first 3 days. And they also learn on how we do our job and what we do.
My expectation.
That way it opens up their eyes to what we actually do.
Mm.
That gives them the time to decide, do I really want to do this?
Really want to do this job? Yeah. Because it's not really a job.
No.
I mean, driving, this, it's not really a job. It's a career. It's a lifestyle. It's,
yeah, it's...
It, it's, you're not, like I said, you're not punching a time clock.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got the DOT clock, unfortunately, but...
Yeah, you don't have a drill sergeant yelling at you. I mean, you're out there, and but you've got to...
You don't have that in the military either.
It not only gives them the time to think about, do I really want to do this, but for our trainee or our, the trainer...
Yeah.
It gives us time to observe our trainee and whether they're going to be able to stay up for that 10-hour, 11-hour drive time,
yeah,
or longer. Also, it gives us, we're able to observe if they're going to be able to make it or not.
Are they being attentive? Are they taking in what you're saying? Are they watching what you're doing? And are they paying attention and listening? And, yeah.
If you have any questions to ask, ask it now.
Okay. That's,
well, let's move into the
first thing I do when they get on my truck is we go through the red binder.
Oh, okay.
We go through the red binder, especially
Which is the binder that they give all trainers to show the process of
training. And this is, again, something I got from the military training, is that in the military, when you first start whatever you're doing, when you first start a course, a program, a course, whatever, the first thing they do is they take you through the course expectations. This is what is expected of you to pass.
Yeah,
that should be covered in orientation.
Yeah.
It should be, but I still make them go through every single point on the skills checklist and everything else and explain to them, here's what I'm looking for, here's how you pass, and I make sure they can demonstrate it 2 weeks in a row without me having to say anything.
Yeah, so they got clear.
Because I had way too many people data dump that stuff over the weekend, and they come back, and it was like, I signed you off on this last week. Why are you?
Yeah. Yep. So, well, let's move forward and let's talk about, you know, being in the military and serving the country. There's a lot of programs available to help you get into truck driving and get into the trucking industry.
How I got mine is I was working for a small company, and they were getting ready to close doors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I found that out, I went to the VA, the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
And they paid for my schooling.
Okay, so you can go to the VA, and because you were past military,
yes,
they will give you a grant or whatever they call it and pay for it. Okay. So
I had gone to Fort Pratt College already, so I had already burned through my GI Bill. I had to pay for mine out of pocket.
In the event you've gone through your GI Bill and that's not something you have left available, you can go to Continental's Truck Driving School in Indianapolis, Indiana, and you don't have to pay anything. Matter of fact, they will pay you $500 a week to attend school and get your CDLs.
Here's another thing I've learned too, is we have so many what we call disabled veterans out there.
Yes.
The trucking industry does work with the disabled veterans. I've seen quite a few amputees out here that's got prosthetic leg.
Yep, I've seen a few out on the
road. Trucking industry works with that.
Yeah, they have special setups they can do in the truck so that you can still drive it. I think that is wonderful to do that.
And there's a lot of veterans that, you know, that don't have that. Trucking industry has that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of other jobs. You're right. Yeah, a lot of other jobs. They can't cater to it in that way. But I think that's amazing. The trucking industry does that. Speaking of amazing, you have a really good story, and I have read it and I've seen some of the videos that you put out on it about the card on the side of your truck. Let's talk about that.
I was making a delivery to one of our customers in Grand Rapids. As I was backing into the dock, this older gentleman come running down the sidewalk. And he asked me to take a picture of my truck. I drive a military-themed truck.
Yeah, you have one of the military wraps, man. Okay. Yeah, he's got a wrap all the way around his truck. And it's military-themed with the flag and
it's Iraqi freedom.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We've got two or three of them like that. And
But this gentleman wanted a picture of my truck, and I asked him to wait till I got back into the dock and set my brakes and turn my truck off. And I said, you can take a picture of my truck. Well, as I did that, he walked up to the truck, handed me a card size of a baseball.
Okay, like a baseball card.
Baseball card.
Okay.
It was a picture of his son that had been killed in Afghanistan. Oh. He wanted me to hold that picture up beside my truck so he could take a picture of it.
Oh, wow.
And I did that. And after he got several pictures of the truck, I went to hand the card back to him. He says, no. He says, I want you to keep that. I said, but I don't. He says, no. He says, I want the spirit of my son to ride with you and your truck all across the country.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was flabbergasted. It floored me.
Someone be cutting onions at that point in time.
Yeah, what an honor. Yeah,
the card is in on my dash of the truck, and it sits there, and it rides with me everywhere I go.
Wow, that is a beautiful story.
But how can you say no?
Yeah,
to the family member of a fallen hero, you can't.
You can't, and
it's a great honor to him. There's a story done on me. It's on our web page?
On our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page. Yeah. What I'm going to do one of these times, I'm going to take that story, I'm going to frame it, and the next time I'm up there, I'm going to present it to his dad.
Being in the military, there's a lot of other military people out there. What's the atmosphere like? Like when you stop at truck stops, at customers, shippers, receivers, and you see other servicemen, do you guys have a camaraderie with them, or?
Some of them I do, because, you know, like I say, I drive that military thing. Some of
them
do.
Yeah, you probably get a lot of people coming up to you.
Some of them do. I mean, I get people that honk at me, give me the thumbs up, or, you know, but normally not that much. I mean, I had a woman follow me into a truck stop down in Georgia one time. And she'd been behind me, I'd say, for at least 12 miles. And I was backing into a hole to shut down for a 10-hour break. And she pulled up, and she goes, and I just kind of looked at her, and she says, so I knew exactly. She wanted a picture of the truck. She followed me for 12 miles into this truck stop.
She thought you were cute.
I don't think so. But she followed me in this
we're
truck stop.
Not supposed to be lying on this thing.
Just to get a picture of the truck because she thought so much of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've had lots of people. I've been at some of our receivers, and they come out.
And they come out.
We love your truck. Can we take a picture? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I bet they probably put it up in their like break room and stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I would imagine you get one of those wraps on your truck. I can imagine it gets you're noticed. It draws attention, and a lot of people really appreciate it.
And the other thing of it is we have three of the trucks, and all three of us, we do parades, funeral processions.
I was going to ask you.
And one of them does the Reach Across America.
Yeah, I think Frank is
Frank
involved
does
in that.
Across he does America. Across America.
Now he was in the military as well.
He's a veteran, Army vet.
Okay, that's why I thought he was Army.
The other one is Mission 22. Mission 22 okay. is a program for veterans that want to commit suicide.
Okay.
So we do a tribute to them.
Okay.
Jason drives that truck. He's an Army veteran too.
Okay. Yeah, we've got lots of veterans that drive for Continental. But I think it's really cool that outside of just the wraps, there's so much stuff that Continental does with veterans and veterans programs across the board, and they're so happy to be involved in them. I think that's wonderful.
And the owner of the company respects all vets, which...
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Which means a lot to us.
As veterans, do you look for specific things in trucking companies? Like when you go to look, when you were looking for a company to drive for, do you look for specific things because you're a veteran, or do you look at it a different way, or is it just I just need a job?
Well, the thing of it is when I started in here, the opportunities, you may contact this person or this company, oh, we're full. We don't need no more drivers right now.
Yeah.
Or we have this. I had one contact me. Oh yeah, we have an intermodal job going from Cincinnati to Chicago. Not interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted to hire specific. Yeah.
I don't want to do repetitious dedicated.
Yeah.
That's
no.
No.
I would be one of those guys falling asleep after a few months.
I get bored with it. I get aggravated with it, and
You guys like the freedom of the open road to just go.
Well, it's not just the freedom of the open road. It's the fact that I'm not doing the same thing every day. Because eventually you're going to, I don't care. Eventually you're going to get road hypnosis where you don't remember entire trip.
Or you get bored, then you get careless. Mm-hmm. There is another company out here. It's called Exchange. They do military bases.
Okay.
My brother drove for them for a while. His mother-in-law just retired from them. They weren't hired at the time that I applied at Continental. But the thing of it is, I was looking to keep, just support my family.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
So when you guys came to Continental, when you called Continental and got a hold of them, what grabbed you onto them? The fact that the variety of options you had, or the...
Well, here, I'll let you finish first. Because my answer is probably, it's already not going to be anything like yours.
I was just looking to better what I had left Snyder with. Mm-hmm. But when I got here, I guess 6 months to a year afterwards, I learned how respectful the owner was to veterans.
Yep.
And I mean, there's a lot of company owners out here that all you are is a number to them.
Yeah.
Not here.
Yep. Not here. No.
No. He shows you respect, and he kind of expects it in return. That meant a lot to me.
That's what got me here.
It showed me, number one, respect, not only to you, but to your family.
Yep.
You're not just a number here.
Well, in closing, I want to say happy Veterans Day coming up to everybody out there who's a veteran. We've covered training, veterans with training. We've covered some, things that you guys learned in the military that you use in today as you train drivers. We've learned there's several programs out there to help people get CDLs with they've had military experience. So there's a lot of options and a lot of opportunities for people out there who are veterans with the trucking industry. So let's tell everybody bye, and you guys can trade war stories out there.
Later.